What do you think of the price of beans in Russia? This is a common question that's asked around table topics. And the answer is, no one really cares. Because the Russians don't care, and we don't care. The Russians get beans free, and we give them to them, and they love it. The United States sends beans around the world in great quantities, and the world loves the United States beans, but the world does not say that. Now, you all are beings of creatures of habit. You are all creatures of experience. And I ask you, after each movie that we look at, what was the redeeming quality of that movie that we saw? What was the redeeming quality of the movie that we looked at? What was the redeeming quality that you found in the film? Anywhere, anything at all. And it's amazing how you are taken first by the dramatic and by the outstanding thing that the movie was trying to portray. And then, as you would dig deeper, you got into the subtleties of it. And as you got into the subtleties of it, you realized that there was an underlying manipulation of telling a certain story, of getting across a certain point that the author had in mind, of sharing something he had in his thought. Now, what about you? What about you? Are you a movie? Are you a theater? Are you a play? Are you a video? When people look at you, what is the motivation that they get from you? On YouTube this morning, I watched a young man who was presenting his creation. And he created a pair of headphones or head goggles that would make everything out in front of him in a 3D operation so that he could look around something, he could see behind it. And when he went up to the television screen, the television screen not only grew for him as he went up to it, but the more of the bleachers came in and more of the field came in. And it was a very, very fascinating thing. Now, maybe it was his purpose, but he did not tell you what happened, why it happened. He merely said, if you're interested, go on to my website. You know, if you're interested, go on to my program and I'll tell you all about it. Because right here in my 10 minutes on YouTube, I don't have time to do that. I merely have time to display it to you, give you the pictorial effect of it, and excite you. Now, do you think this young man is really interested in making money off of that? Well, possibly. He certainly was low-key. And he certainly showed it very fascinatingly. And everyone looks at it, and what's the first thing they think? I can do that. They look at it, and they say, wow, all he did was just put that on his head, and he looked at that, and that's what he saw. How wonderful. Now, can you really do what he did by just putting it on your head and doing it like he did? And the answer is, if he's there, yes. But if he's not there, then there are many little things that he did, many little preparations that he did, that brought him to the point where he could be a genius on computer sciences and present that information. Now, all of us have a wonderful facility about us. We are all geniuses. And we all have the ability to do wonderful and great things. We have the ability to do magnificent things. We have the ability to enjoy wholeness. We have the ability to enjoy abundance. We have the ability to enjoy spiritual illumination. We have the ability to enjoy all these things. And we say, yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I want. And we hear about it, and we see other people demonstrating that in their lives, and we say, wow, unconditional love, oh wee, how great that is. But you see, they're like the young scientist there on YouTube. He showed you his program, and he lets you see how beautiful it is, and then he says, get on my website, and we'll work together and you can do it too. Now, I'm sure change is going to cross hands in the process, but that's another point. Now, you've heard about walking on fire, and you've heard of people walking on fire, and they put down $1,000, and the teacher teaches them how to walk on fire, or else they get their money back. And then they walk on fire. And these people are really intent on walking on fire and doing it, but they don't walk on fire. They are hypnotized out of the idea that they're walking on fire to the idea that they're walking on cool, wet moss. You see? Now, you've been hypnotized all of your life into thinking that a cold takes 7 days to heal. Problems are things that happen in every life. You're supposed to believe that if there's a problem, it's going to find you. And if there's trouble in the world, it's going to come to your door. That's what you're taught to think. That's what you're taught. And they say humorously to do that. Some Murphy's Law or something like that. And there's nothing humorous about it. If you have even that thought in your mind, then that is where you're going to be. Now, how can we do like this man? How can we walk on fire? How can we walk on water? How can we do any of these most interesting things? And they're really not so interesting. Once you learn the principle and apply it, you say, nothing to it, right? Mm-hmm. You say nothing to it once you learn the principle and apply it. But for you and me, for us to get to the point of learning the principle and applying it is a long, tedious program. And the tedious program is, I say to you, Sylvie, walk on water. And Sylvie says, ha, 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 you know. You see, that sarcasm that we have, I'm not there yet. I haven't learned how to walk on water. I don't know how to walk on water. I don't. You see, what should you be saying?
Sure.
I'll walk on water for you. Sure. No problem. What? You will? Sure. Sure. I'll walk on water. Now, if in the process you fall in, big deal. But if you have the confidence and you say, sure, I will, and you believe in yourself. You believe in yourself. You don't have the idea that, well, okay, maybe I won't have to prove it. Maybe something will come along the lake will dry up and I don't have to walk on the water. But no, that thought mustn't go through your mind. All of those thoughts are the human thoughts. Those are the reasons that you're not demonstrating the purity and the fullness of your life right now. You have all sorts of attitudes which say, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that, I don't have to follow this program, I don't have to walk this pathway to accomplish that goal. Well, the master teacher said, it's done unto you
according to your belief.
According to your belief. Now, do we believe that or not? Was Jesus a shyster? Was he trying to get us to believe something that was not true? Was he not demonstrating it himself? Was he trying to get us to believe something that was not true? Yes, he was trying to get us to believe something that was not true. It is not true that you will walk on water. It is true that you do walk on water. Or maybe that you walk over water. Maybe you walk like the flying nun, you know. The flying nun sure had a large range for a breeze. she knew how to sail because she knew how to go against the breeze coming back to where she wanted to be. But you see, that is just a logic, all the logic being stuck in there. And the thing is, the story would have been even more delightful if they had forgotten all logic. Take all logic out of it. Oh, she could have said it first, you know, the lift of her hat, you know. But really, that didn't make any difference. What made the difference? She was a flying nun. And people could see her flying. People could see her doing this. Now, are there people who fly without their, what do they call it?
Cornet.
Cornet, without her special hat? Can people fly without their special hat? Mm-hmm. Sure. Do they? Sure. Not very often. But why did they, in the movie, always keep trying to hide the fact that she was flying with her coronet? Well, because they didn't want people to think she was crazy. But why would people think she was crazy if they looked up there and they saw her flying? Huh? Why would people think that you're crazy if they see you walking on water? Huh? You know? Why would people think you're crazy if you say, well, I'm going to go visit my mom, and your mom's in Switzerland, and poof, Anita, where'd you go? You were here just a second ago. And then she's at her mother's side. She says, Mom, what you up to? Oh, Anita, when did you stop in? Just now. Let's go to dinner. Okay. Super, Mom. A little late, but let's go. So you go to dinner. You go to a pizza restaurant right next door, you know, and you have that nice pizza. And there you meet all your old friends, you know. They're all pizzaing it up and beering it up and stuff like that. And they say, well, Anita, when did you get in town? Just now, you know. No details. Well, how'd you get here? You don't know. No. What airlines? You know? They don't ask you that. Who picked you up at the depot? You know, at the train station, at the plane airport. Who picked you up? And I did myself. You know. And there was no interim. A second ago, I was having lunch with the gang on campus, and now I'm with you guys boozing it up here in Switzerland, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, can you conceive of that? Yes, you can conceive of it, but do you practice it? Do you practice living in that state of consciousness, in that state of beingness? If you rebel in the slightest at anything that your instructor or your trainer says to you in the process of learning how to do that, you'll never learn it. You'll never have it, and you don't deserve it. But if you just go for it, if you just have a ball doing it, then it's yours. You know, they say that people ascend. Well, that's stupid. Nobody ascends. They say, well, when a lot of people die, they just ascend. They take their body with them and they're gone. That's not ascending. They move into another dimension. Now, if you call that ascending, perhaps. But the thing is, they're not ascending from something to something. They're just moving. They're just being on another dimension. They're like you. Mom, here I am. Oh, good. I was just thinking about you. I thought you were, you know. Well, let's do it. Now, you see, the most natural thing in the world. Where'd you come from? Just dropped in. No. Most natural thing in the world. Now, when you get about yourself that everything you do, all of your spiritual illumination and awareness and inspiration is the most natural thing in the world, then you got it made. There's a magazine, and there's an article in Discover magazine, and the article says, the author of this science fiction article was having difficulty because actual science today is stranger than any fiction he could conceivably write, you know? The reality of science today is stranger than any fiction he could conceive. Can you conceive of one cell, one stem cell in your body which could rejuvenate your entire body? But how? I have an article, and in that article it shows livers, a group of livers, you know, sort of growing all together, and one cell of the liver was bad, of this bit of liver. Well, actually the liver was bad. And they took a cell from it, and they put a stem cell with that liver cell that had trouble, and it regenerated brand new livers. Maybe there were 6 or 8 of them there, of livers that could now be taken and transplanted back into the person and be given a brand new liver. Now, it's kind of a tedious program, but nonetheless it shows something that can be done. Now, what happened that it could regenerate all those livers? What happened? We were just reading about the honeybee, and the honeybee had 70 million, 70 million sperms in it before it was ready to hatch and create a whole new set of bees to send out in the world. Interesting. Mm. But the queen bee was very intelligent. The queen bee would look over every one of those 70 billion eggs that hatched. And if any of them were a queen bee egg, it would dispatch that. It didn't want any competition. Because if any queen bee egg were able to get through and remain in the hive, that queen bee ultimately would take over the queen bee's job. So, you see, there's an intuitive knowingness that's going on there. Now, a lot of the eggs are just taken out right away. And the queen bees are off into other hives and into other programs, but never in the same hive. There can only be that perfect original purity and integrity. There can only be that stem cell. The queen bee is the stem cell. It is that pure cell which is the essence of the entire hive. Quite fascinating. Mm-hmm. And are you willing, are you ready and willing to move into this level of awareness? And the answer is no. And why do I say no, that you're not ready? Because you're not ready to follow orders instantly from whatever your program is that you set up for yourself. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How in the heck are you thinking in your heart? Are you thinking limitation in any way? Are you thinking that you wish something were true? Are you thinking that, oh dear, I'm crying, I'm sad, I'm... Or are you, I'm laughing, you know? And she makes me happy, she makes me sad. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Anybody can control your, push your buttons, you know. No way, no way, no way, Jose. What you do is you push your own buttons. I can, I do, I am, I. It is done, see? But you're here in the monastery, presumably for training in that area, to instantly follow whatever you're told to do, regardless of whether it's something you want to do or not, regardless of something whether you think it's logical or not. The more illogical it is, just say to yourself, the more illogical it is, the more powerful it is for me to just accept and flow with it. And when you flow with it, you're going to get kicked out of here. Because there can only be one queen bee here. You know, just me. But, all right, so I'm a king bee, but but there can only be one. And you'll be on your way and having up your own hive. Sure. Your own world, your own universe. But you'll be doing it as a master. You'll be doing it as a genius. You'll be doing it as God, as the ultimate of all. Can you conceive that? Mm-hmm. And can you realize, I really don't care whether you follow what I tell you or not. Because pretty soon you'll cut your own head off, and you'll be no more. And you'll be like a drone that has done its job. The male honeybee impregnates the female and then dies. It just dies. That's the way it is. Hmm. Now, you think, what an impractical way to do it. No, no, no. It keeps it fresh. Fresh drones all the time. Fresh drones that grow up to be drones and are ready to have a beautiful stem cells to make the queen pregnant with beautiful honeybees. And that's what it's all about. Now, I say this to you today, not so much as I tell you so or I said so, but that it's a reminder. Jesus had the same problem with his people that he worked with. He would say to them, it's done unto you according to your belief, and then they go out and they act dumb. He would say, know yourself. And they would go out and say, Jesus, you are the king of the Jews. And he'd say, I am not. I'm the king of myself. It's the Father within each of us that's the king. That's the reality. That's the allness of what we are. And still, these disciples had spent 3 solid years sitting on his doorstep, you know, listening to him share beautiful thing, more than we'll ever know. And still, they come up as a bunch of jerks. But are we any better? We have much more knowledge, much more wisdom, much more understanding, much more training, and much more magic around us, you know. Spaceships and everything else, you know. And still, we are confused. What are scientists today finding out with their microscopes and their submicroscopes and their sub-sub-sub-microscopes. There's no end to the original cell, you might say, the original essence. And it goes back through energy. But even as you're looking at energy, energy consists of these cells, of these atoms, and so forth. And then you go back into that energy, which consists of the early atoms, and they consist of atoms of a nature doing something, quarks, quanks, and all the names that they give to that stuff, you know. And on back, and on back, and on back, and on back, and on back. Well, now, that's infinitesimal, without end. But then, let's look at the universe. Here we have this universe that we're in, and we think it's rather grand, bigger than we can conceive. But it's in universe, which are in universes, and so it's, I can understand why people would have this statement here. Okay? I'm in heaven. Now, you're God? Yes, I'm God. Okay, now, who is the big God that's over you? Well, the big God that's over me, he's over here. Okay, now who's the big God that's over you? Well, he's the big God that's over me, and all of us big gods is this bigger God. Right now, who's the big God that's over the bigger God, you know? And on ad infinitum into bigness. And you say, well, that's rather silly. But no, that's how people think. That's how people think. People do not want, especially atheists, they don't want to believe that there is a God that is the creator of all, because there must be some God that created the God that created all. You know? And there must be a God who created the God who created all, you know? And on into ad infinitum. At infinitum. But you see, this is when you are an open heart, an open mind, when you're responsive, respective of the grandness of who you are, that you can even conceive that. I tell you, you were one of Jesus' disciples, you would not be able to conceive that, because you're not prepared for that. You're not prepared to think that there's anything bigger than Jesus and his dad. Right? Hmm. Yes. The disciples could not conceive of anything greater than Jesus and his Father. And his Father might be God of the allness and the isness, but they didn't think in those terms. Because not that they couldn't, not that they didn't have an inkling of it, but they did status quo. And you, knuckleheads, you guys are doing status quo too. You're doing status quo on thinking that the grandness of what you have now is great. You know, in the 20s, and in the 17th century, in the 18th century, in the 19th century, in each century, some person came along and says, we have now built the greatest erection in the world, you know, the Brooklyn Bridge. You know. Well, the Brooklyn Bridge is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. I walked across it, you know, on my sister's 83rd birthday, you know. Big deal. Or was it the 80th birthday? And big deal. Big deal. Now, where are the bridges? Well, look at the Golden Gate Bridge. Look, and there's another bridge there. Where is it? It's tremendous, 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 tremendous. It's in Australia, someplace, really. It's just over some tremendous thing. Tremendous. And, you see, we can't conceive of that. We can't conceive of those things because it's so tremendous. And is it so? And they went down with their fishing net, 48 miles, and they pulled up a 19-ton squid, some great big old squid. Fantastic, from down below. Well, what else was down there? And what were they feeding on down there? And how were they living down there under such pressure? Imagine bringing that thing up that's used to living down there under that pressure. It must have poof, burst, or what would it do? In go or out go. But it'd be fascinating, wouldn't it? But you see, this is what life is all about. We want to spread our wings into the infinity of who we are without any limitation, and be who we are without any limitation. And when you're ready for that, that means that you will follow your inner teacher, or if you are still in the process and using an outer teacher, you follow what your outer teacher is. Here at the monastery, we train you how to follow directions. And if you follow directions, then you're ready to go and walk your own path. But first you have to be what? You have to be untouched, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental. You have to be self-determined. You have to be self-dedicated, self-diligent, self-disciplined. And then you're unconditional love. And then you can handle your own. You can walk your own. But until you are in charge of yourself, you're easy market for somebody to come along and con you into something else. And if that's what you want, go for it. Can you walk on water? Can you walk on fire? Can you fly in the air? Can you swim the ocean? No.
That's an easy,
yeah.
An easy one.
What's that?
That's an easy one.
Oh.
Swim the ocean.
3,000 miles? And you have little dancing sharks coming around and help joining you, you know?
Yes.
And if you're intelligent, you'll say, give me a ride, boys. You know?
But if I can't do that, then I can also just teleport on the other side of the ocean.
Well, see, right away, she's got all these alternatives that are theirs, which are just as fantastic as any, you know?
Yes.
Now, can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we said, all right, Sylvia, you big, big, big mouth, right this minute, go and visit your sister in Switzerland. And she says, I'll visit my brother. So, boop, she's gone. And we say, I guess Sylvia wasn't here. We must have been pretending she was here. And then, boop, she's back. And we say, well, Sylvia, what's this? You were here and there and not here. Well, you say, go visit my brother. I did. Well, what time is it over there? X. And what was he doing? Why? And so forth, you know? Big deal. Now, could you do that? Yes, you could. Could you believe in yourself enough to do that? That's what we teach you here, how to believe in yourself. And if that's what you want to learn, then you're here to follow the program. If that's not what you want to learn, good night. I love you. I love you. I love you.